Canto 25. The sun was in the ram, and had declined 2 hours from noon, which left the bull on high in the meridian. By that same kind of movement, night had quit the tallest sky above Jerusalem. So you would find the scorpion up there if you could look, and we were short of time for our ascent. Pressed in advance for all the time it took, we were as one that no impediment can stop, because necessity, his goad, pricks him continually, and our small crew met one by one the next stage on our road by entering a gap so tight that you were forced to climb alone on its stone stairs. And as the little stork might lift one wing to quit the nest and thereby prove it dares to fly but then pretends that no such thing had crossed its mind and drops the wing again, just so was I with my desire to ask a question. And I almost spoke, but then I didn't. My guide, equal to the task, for all our speed of foot, did not refrain. "Your bow of speech," he said, "is tightly drawn, right to the arrowhead, and creaks with strain. Please let it loose." With confidence reborn, this time I got the words out. "How do they get thin, when there's no need of nourishment?" And he, "If only you recall the way Meleager's life was lived and wholly spent in one brand's burning, this point won't be hard for you. And if you also think of how your image in the glass meets your regard with every move you make, not soon but now, exactly similar yet isn't real, you'll find it easier to realize that souls can well reflect what bodies feel and make it seem substantial to your eyes. But just to set your puzzlement at rest, I call on Statius and bid him heal your wounds." "If in your presence I attend," said Statius, "to spirits seen as real, although the actual body is long gone, in the eternal life it is because I can't refuse you." That said, he went on, "My son, if in your mind you open doors to take my words in, I can demonstrate how this can be. The thirsty veins do not drink perfect blood, which, sharing the pure state of food kept from the table, takes in what the heart confers, the power to generate the future body's parts. Like blood that takes the standard course through veins to fashion these, the perfect heart's blood subsequently makes its way down to where words are bound to please less than a decent silence, and from there it joins another's blood in the right place, the natural vessel. In this way the pair of matched streams mingle as they share the space, one passive and the other, since it flows from sheer perfection, active. The twinned stream begins to function as its thickness grows, coagulating, quickening its seam of virtue into potent readiness. A soul, much as a plant's, but not the same, because the plant's soul sets out never less than all set to arrive, whereas the frame of this soul is sea fungus at the most. It moves, it feels, it goes on to produce organs for faculties. It is the host of every little thing and each thing's use that grows out of its seed. And now, my son, the force unfolds and spreads out of the heart of the begetter until all is one, and nature has made shift for every part and member. But you can't see how it's done as yet. Quite how from the dumb animal a creature comes that speaks, and neither could a wiser one than you. He saw it all, except one special part that would come good and be the mind. No, Aristotle thought the intellect was separate from the soul and common to all men, and so he taught. But open up your breast now to the whole truth of this tricky matter. It's like so. No sooner does the structure of the brain get organized within the embryo than in comes the first mover, might and main, happy at nature's work of art, and gives a potent inspiration to it, which incorporates all that already lives in there. And so a single soul made rich by these two elements begins to thrive and feel and think. And lest these words of mine astonish you of how men come alive, consider how the sun's heat turns to wine when it combines with the substantial juice that pours from the pulped grapes plucked from the vine. Or think how from the flesh the soul pulls loose when Lachesis runs out of flax. It takes along with it all the potentials for the faculties, that is, whatever makes the human or divine. The first no more are heard, the second, memory and thought and will, the things that nothing can confer save the divine, freed from their last resort in flesh, are more acute than they once were. And so the soul falls marvelously towards one of two shores, and all this will occur without a pause. The Tiber's, where it boards the boat sent for the saved, or else the dark bank of the Acheron. And then it first becomes aware of how it will embark and where it's bound. As soon as it's immersed in space, its formative essential force sends out its rays in just those shapes they took for living members, taking the same course that sunbeams take in rain-soaked air. We look and see the colors. Thus the air around will set itself into the self-same form the soul had when alive. There will be found a stamp of the soul's power. Though not as warm, the shape will, as the flame follows the fire, follow the spirit. Since it has by this its image from then on, so we require to fit it the name Shade, for emphasis on insubstantial visibility. And from this air, organs for every sense are formed, even for sight. As we can see, we speak, and smile, and weep, and heave intense sighs of the depth that might have met your ears here on this hill. As our desires impinge on us, the shade takes form and so appears, at which you marvel. We were at the hinge of the last torment, taking a right turn, and faced another care. Out from the bank flames shoot. To bend them as they burn, the path sends up a blast from its far flank so that the fire is kept back. Thus we had, one at a time, to take the open side. For me this had two ways of being bad. Since on the one hand there was this hot tide of fire to face, and on the other I feared falling. Along here we must draw tight on our eyes' reins, lest our steps go awry. But then I heard in that great burning light a song. Summae Deus Clementiae. The hymn that tells us chastity is right, which made me keen to turn. Within the flames were spirits walking, so I kept looking at them, my stunned glance hard to win away from them and back to where I stepped, my gaze divided. Their hymn fully sung, they cried what Mary said to Gabriel, thus, Verum non cognosco, in our tongue, no man was with me, for the world knows well that she was chaste. And then they all began to sing the hymn again, and at the end this time they cried, Diana hid from man deep in the woods, and would not keep for friend the nymph Callisto, who with Jove had lain, but banished her because she dared to drink the poison Venus pours, the wine of pain. And then they sang again, and will, I think, first sing, then cry, then sing for all the time they burn. Of all the husbands and the wives who keep their marriage free of that sad crime by being chaste as wedlock wants our lives to be. And with such precepts and such prayer, the last wound of them all we may repair.